You're in the mix with Bart Cop Radio.
Hey kids, this week's going to be a little different. I am coming to you live from the Tommy and Tally balcony in lovely Toluca Lake, California. It's a gorgeous July evening. We might hear a little roar of some airplane engines from the within spitting distance Burbank Airport. And we might hear some gurgling of the lovely fountain we have in our courtyard, unless it shuts off any second now, which it normally does. But other than that, it's just a beautiful, beautiful summer night here on the coast. Today's beverage is a fine Jameson 1780 Special Reserve 12-year-old Scotch. Irish whiskey, excuse me. One moment, please. Yes. Irish whiskey, imported from Dublin by a friend of mine. Anyway, Fahrenheit 9/11. Wow. Certainly the most awesome theatrical experience I've ever had here in Los Angeles, especially with a sold-out theater. Tommy and I went on Monday, after the first weekend, to the Arclight Cinema on Sunset in Hollywood. Briefly, we rarely go to see films anymore. We are DVD junkies. But when we do, we make it an event. And the Arclight is the civilized way to see a film. Assigned seats, ushers that stay to make sure the film is running properly, sound, focus, etc., so you don't have to scream at the theater, you know, scream at the screen and whatever. They even have a cafe and a bar. It's awesome. They had it on two screens, each with a capacity for 500 people per screen. And the 7:45, 8:30, and 10:25 showings were all sold out. Did I mention it was a Monday night? It was so awesome. Tuesday, I was at an audition, and the casting director was so pissed off because he kept trying to see the movie and couldn't get a ticket. It's the absolute hottest ticket here in town. If you haven't seen it, get on it. It's one film you need to see with other people, especially if you can see it in a really full theater. It's amazing. Okay. I hate moving. I haven't moved in 10 years, and due to some unforeseen horrible circumstances, like they're raising our rent in this building unconscionably, we're moving. So today I was calling all the utility companies to transfer our service, and when I called DirecTV, I had a problem. We currently get both the Los Angeles, since we live here and live on the dark side of the Hollywood Hills, where there is no TV signal, even if you had a Cartman-style 80-foot satellite dish sticking out of your ass, and the New York feeds of ABC. But since we are moving, I have to reapply for the service I currently already have. What? I've been trying to get the New York feeds of both CBS and NBC also, so I can watch as much TV as my little TV junkie heart can take. Okay, it sounds retarded, but I'm a voting SAG member and take my voting responsibilities very seriously and will not vote for anything I haven't seen. And in a more base capitalistic sense, if I am willing to pay for both feeds, why the hell shouldn't I be able to get them? Do you suppose for 1 minute that the network's need for control of what I see is greater than their desire for cash? Could it be? It sounds twisted, doesn't it? But there is a federal control law that regulates what local, public-owned, and that means me, airwaves, I have access to, and unless I can give them a good enough reason to allow me access to both coastal feeds, then no, ma'am. Can't see 'em. I don't get it. Why on earth would someone deny me access to a different time zone's broadcast feed? All the rest of the channels I get on DirecTV are East Coast times. I can view more of their programming. I can see more of their commercials. Interesting, isn't it? Control of what I view over airwaves, I supposedly already own. On to happier topics. The Lance-a-thon begins Saturday, July 3rd. Check your local listings for OLN, the Outdoor Life Network. There is a huge doping scandal going on, and they're trying to nail Lance, even though he hasn't taken any drugs since he was recovering from cancer over 5 years ago. No, they can't stand it, the fact that an American is going to get it, hopefully. Keep your fingers crossed. 6 years in a row and break all records. I can't wait. And I hate this term, but bring it on. Lance is gonna rock. That's all for this show. I'm Tally, and this has been La Perspective Femme.
Our guest tonight, a humorist for The New Yorker and best-selling author. His latest book is Obliviously On, He Sails, The Bush Administration in Rhyme. Please welcome Calvin Trillin. Calvin!
Thank you, sir. Thanks for coming. Come and sit.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Thank you very much for coming by. Obliviously On, He Sails, The Bush Administration in Rhyme. What possessed you to think lyrically in this manner?
Well, I've been actually writing what we call deadline poetry since the first Bush administration. The title is half of a poem I wrote when George Bush's college transcript was revealed during the campaign, which was Obliviously On He Sails With Marks Not Quite As Good As Quails. and
I certainly can't tell you why, but I just got out of the car, was listening to the tail end of some Rush, and I heard that idiot vulgar pig boy talking about no child's behind left alone. He read a survey somewhere, or claimed to, that 4 or 5 million children at school are either sexually harassed or sexually attacked, and that covers a pretty broad range of crimes, unquote. And Rush kept saying, what's the difference? He said sexual harassment can make a man lose his job, lose his life, which I don't know if he meant to say that or if he was just being stupid. It could make him lose his job, lose his life, lose his livelihood, ruin a man, etc., etc., bankrupt him, etc., etc. Yeah, I understand all that. And nobody's saying that sexual harassment is a good thing. But the way sexual harassment is defined, if you see an attractive girl at school and you call her Monica, that could be considered sexually harassment, right? But that's quite a bit different from knocking her down the steps and pulling her clothes off and raping her, don't you think? How idiotic. Maybe this was the point he was trying to make, and he's just so effing bad at it. You know, there's a universe of difference between calling someone Monica and raping them. I mean, come on, let's use our damn heads. Perhaps what he meant to say was this was a stupid survey, if they're going to lump those two together, and therefore decide that 4 or 5 million school children are under this threat or this sword of Damocles. If the survey wanted to make some sense, they would say X amount have reported being harassed, which is one thing. Oh, and also include telling of a dirty joke. Now, how in the hell are you going to define dirty joke? For some reason, the vulgar pig boy thought he'd spend a half an hour on the non-differences between sexual harassment and sexual attacks. And as always, he made no damn sense. It took him a half hour to say that. Makes you wonder, how does he fill 3 hours a day? Well, he picks up a newspaper, he sees a one-paragraph story, and he decides that that speaks for all liberals in every one of the 50 states, and he just goes on for a half an hour without even making a point. The idiot. Boy, it's hard to pigeonhole the pig boy because he never says anything. If anybody heard that Thursday afternoon and has a clue what the hell he was talking about, please send me an email. We'll be right back.
talk tonight about the Supreme Court, which sadly remains a bastion of anti-American activity. Proof of this can be found in Monday's 6-3 decision against the Bush administration, finding the alleged Al-Qaeda and Taliban prisoners in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, cannot be held indefinitely without some right to an appeal and an attorney. And when the court that handpicked you to be president tells you you've overstepped your bounds, you've overstepped your bounds. The court dismissed the White House's claims of national security, noting, quote, a state of war is not a blank check for the president. The White House also claimed Guantanamo Bay was not covered by U.S. law, an argument the detainee's attorney, who will be played by Richard Dreyfuss in the movie, was pleased to see rejected.
More importantly than our position being vindicated is a repudiation of the position of the government that they could have a lawless zone where they could do what they wanted to.
So there you have it, folks. Finally, there is a zone set up where the U.S. government cannot do whatever it wants to, and it's in Cuba.
Charges considered in death of Iraqi general. Army probes interrogation that ended with suffocation. Oh, how cute. Oh, God, I hate it when a headline writer or some idiot news writer tries to get effing cute. The Army is building a case against two of its officers and two enlisted personnel in the fatal interrogation of an Iraqi general who was suffocated last November while in custody in Iraq. The official who has direct knowledge of investigations into prisoner abuses and deaths said investigators have completed their preliminary work and have sent their yak-yak-yak. Military officials don't yak-yak-yak. Killed was Iraqi Major General Abid Hamad Mawoush, a commander of Saddam's air forces. He was captured November 10th and underwent daily interrogations at the Qaim facility with Special Operations Forces and CIA personnel. He was allegedly beaten while in a sleeping bag as U.S. personnel sat on his chest and covered his mouth on November 26th. Happy Thanksgiving, General Mawoush. His death was announced on November 27th. Was at first attributed to natural causes. Later it was ruled a homicide. So, what they did. We got a couple of frog blasters here. Well, maybe four of them. But they put this general, and this guy was probably a real sack of shit that maybe he needed dying. Not my place, not their place. But anyway, he was a senior guy. They took one of their generals. Think if they took one of our generals and did this to him. How unfair and awful that would be, because he's got a family, and he's got a, But anyway, they put this guy in a sleeping bag. No, he wasn't going camping. Certainly, they put him in a sleeping bag so he could not move his arms and legs. So he's tied up in a sleeping bag. They tape his mouth shut and then sit on his chest while they torture him. Welcome to America. Oh, the land of the free and the home of the brave. The brave torturers, the brave frog blasters. God, it's such an ugly mess, and it's all Smirk's fault. This little frog blasting boy, he just thinks it's fun to destroy. He giggles when he kills, and I'll bet he got a little wood when he found out the general was beaten to death. And of course, these fine upstanding CIA and operations forces, they wrote down natural causes as a cause of death, but some autopsy doctor had a different opinion. This Smirk would say, had a difference of opinion. And he ruled it a murder. So now these guys are on trial for murder. Now, they wouldn't have just murdered a guy walking down the street. No, Smirk put him in this position. This Smirk is a general. He knows everything. Get the information from him. Get it right now. Now, I didn't say tomorrow. I didn't say 2 weeks from Friday. I didn't say by July 4th. Right now. Get that information right now. So they went in, and they sat. They covered his mouth, and they taped his arms and his legs, and they sat on his chest, and they probably beat him about the head with sticks or knives or whatever you beat a guy with, and he died. So maybe these four guys are going to prison. Maybe they'll just cover it up. But the son of a bitch at the top is going to skate free no matter what, because the crooked court that installed him will always rule his way when the shit comes down. God, that's disheartening.
we've touched on the presidency and the Supreme Court tonight, but what if the Congress, the noble institution charged with making our nation's laws and overseeing the other two branches of government, what have they been up to? Well, how about crowning crazy foreigners king? That's what happened a few months back when more than a dozen congressmen from both parties attended a reception honoring the Reverend Sun Myung Moon with a ritual coronation. Sun Myung Moon, for those of you who haven't been married by him or to him, is the leader of the Moonies. He spent 18 months in prison on tax evasion and has argued vigorously and publicly that the Jews brought the Holocaust upon themselves. I'm sorry. King Sun Myung Moon. After Salon.com broke the story last week.
Excuse me, John. I realize you didn't intend to slight BartCop.com, but you know, it's hard to go back in time and then claim that you broke a story. Salon broke that story on 6/21. You go to Salon.com and punch in Sun Myung Moon. That story comes up on 6/21, but BartCop.com broke that story May 12th, the full 5 weeks earlier. But of course, we don't get no credit because nobody reads BartCop.com. Oh, sure, it's read by dozens, but millions read Salon. But no, us little guys who were there first and got the story right, we don't get no credit. But yeah, you go back to the May 12th issue, BartCop.com, and read that story, and you go to Salon 5 weeks later on 6/21 and read the same story. That story is written by my good friend John Gorenfeld, who sent it to me back in May, and then Salon decided it was newsworthy 5 weeks later. But that's okay. I know you didn't mean to slight me, John, but I just wanted to set the record straight. BartCop.com broke that story, not Salon.
After Salon.com broke the story last week, some of the very embarrassed lawmakers in attendance claimed they were duped. Congressman Roscoe Bartlett, shown here bowing while bringing the Reverend his vestments, told reporters, quote, "I had no idea what would happen at the event." Bow before King Moon and present him with his vestments can be interpreted many ways. The ceremony ended with a long speech for Moon, including this nugget, quote, "Emperors, kings, and presidents have declared to all heaven and earth that Reverend Sun Myung Moon is none other than humanity's savior, messiah, returning lord, and true parent." I've heard of padding your resume, but people are going to check. Calls will be placed.
Hey, are you folks interested in that Mega Millions jackpot deal? Yeah. $280 million. Lotto jackpot, $250 million. Experts are calling this the biggest one-time jackpot payoff since John Kerry married Teresa Hines.
Wow.
This was, and you wonder what the guy is thinking when he did this, but last night Dick Cheney goes up to Yankee Stadium to a ball game. Dick Cheney, Vice President Dick Cheney. And during like the seventh inning stretch or something, they put him up there on the Jumbotron, and everybody in Yankee Stadium sees him on Jumbotron, and they booed him. Yeah. Everybody in the stadium boos him. Well, as we know, Dick Cheney has a horrible temper, and so he goes crazy. And he grabs everybody who booed him and then ran them around naked on a leash. Here's more good news over in Iraq. The Iraqi government, the interim government, has now taken custody of Saddam Hussein. He is now their prisoner. Saddam and 11 of his henchmen will be arraigned for war crimes, and I believe this will be the first time that they've all been together since Chemical Ali's skating party. it was way back. what a night that was. But according to interrogators, Saddam Hussein is arrogant, he's defiant, he thinks that people are still in love with him, he thinks that he's still very popular, he thinks that he is still president, and, oh no, wait a minute, that's Bush.
This just in, as of Thursday evening, Prime Minister Alawi of Iraq is still alive. Repeat, Prime Minister Alawi is not dead. As of Thursday evening, his head is still connected to his body. Swear to Koresh. More on this as it develops.
As far as Kerry goes, though, this is what I think I do know about him. I don't think he's going to invade countries unless they are attacking us or threatening to truly attack us. In other words, you only send troops into battle unless it's absolutely necessary. That's the only time we should ever risk our kids' lives. Our young people who go off to war and who join the service, we need to honor them. Because they're willing to risk their lives to protect us, to defend us, so we can have this way of life. And the sort of the agreement that they make with us is that we never send them into harm's way unless it's absolutely necessary. I think most Americans, I just saw the latest poll today, 54%, now believe that this wasn't the wisest thing to do. It wasn't certainly in self-defense. You weren't threatened. I wasn't being threatened. And that's the only time, because ultimately, if it was your child, you know, would you give up your child to secure Fallujah? I mean, as crass as that sounds, I think anybody in here, if you ask yourself honestly, could we come and take your child tonight and have your child die to secure Fallujah? Does that make you safer? Does that make me safer? Is the world a better place as a result of it? It is good that Saddam Hussein is gone. Absolutely, everyone agrees with that. But now we need help, and we need to reach out to that world, the greater world community that we sort of turned our backs on. But I'll tell you what, if you travel this world, they love Americans. They really do love us, and as a people, and their hearts poured out to us after September 11th. And I think that goodwill is still there. And we need somebody in the White House who's gonna go after those people and say, you know what, there's still a good reason to like us. We like you. We like being in this world. And hopefully we'll have a better world as a result of that.
Well, I will say this, that I went and saw the movie Night Before Last. And last night I was walking down the street and I was talking to my college roommate. We were going to dinner and we started talking about the movie and arguing different points. And then we were joined by someone on the street who started arguing with us too. And I thought, you know what, this isn't the worst thing in the world. This is no slam, but that's not going to happen after people see white chicks. You know, they're not going to be like, no, they could be chicks. They couldn't, dude. If it gets people hot under the collar or angry and talking, that's not the worst thing in the world.
If there was gold in this issue, he would have mined it. Bend, Oregon. We start with Larry on the phones. Hello, sir.
Am I on, Rush?
You're on.
Mega Bart Cop Dittos, big boy.
Nice to have you with us. Are you there, sir?
Yes, can you hear me?
I hear you, Larry. What's up?
Hey, why don't you tell us about your draft dodging there, Rush?
There isn't any, Lair.
Yeah, dodged the draft in Nam. Why don't you tell us about how you got out?
Lair, there was no draft dodging.
Oh, yeah? Well,
you are a victim of false information.
Well, Lair, explain it to us, then.
No, it's been done. It's
no,
been
I
written about.
Tell your new listeners, those millions of them by the day.
Hey, Larry. Nice try, pal, but you lied about what you wanted to talk about. If you said that you wanted to talk about that and then had talked about it, we would have talked about it.
Yeah, pig boy, right. Like you would put a guy on the air that wanted to talk about your draft dodging. Yeah, right. We believed that.
You said you wanted to talk about how the Democrat ads claims are legitimate. That Bush has added arsenic to the water and salmonella to the food. But you didn't talk about that. So, as one who follows the rules, your history. Pig boy. And sadly, ladies and gentlemen, we haven't time for another call, but this is classic. You put a liberal to the front of the line, and a liberal makes me the issue rather than deal with the subject, rather than deal with the topic. Yes, I'm not losing my luster. If I was, they wouldn't still feel a need to try to discredit me.
More is publicity tour last weekend also included a chilly run-in with CBS Early Show co-anchor and spokeswoman for Good Bone Structure, Hannah Storm.
Michael Moore, good morning.
Good morning.
You're the man of the hour. Pick up the paper. There's what, Spider-Man in one corner, and you're everywhere.
Wow, she seems really excited to be talking about
So this is satire and not documentary. We shouldn't
It's a satirical documentary.
Some have said propaganda. You buy that? Op-ed?
No, I consider the CBS Evening News propaganda. what I do is provide... Why? Oh, let's not move beyond that.
Let's talk about your movie.
Why don't we talk about the Evening News on this network and the other networks that didn't do the job they should have done at the beginning of this war? Demanded the evidence, asked the hard questions...
Did he just ambush her on her own interview? Unbelievable. The interview over, it was time for Storm to clear the air.
Michael Moore, thanks so much. Please come back.
All right, thank you.
Up next, choosing the right bug spray this summer for your kids. DEET or no? This is The Early Show.
DEET or no? And he said the media won't ask the hard questions.
You are listening to Bart Cop Radio at bartcop.com. Keeper of the Democratic Jewels.
Well, there you had it. That was show 45. Boy, we had a good time doing this one. As you can tell, there was some anger. There was hopefully some humor. There was, we know there was insight. Hey, my deal on Kerry's campaign, that was masterpiece. That'll go into the Hall of Fame, as Rush the Pig Boy says. That was show 45. Glad you could be with us. All praise to the subscribers. You guys are producing this. Tommy Mac thinks he is. No, he's just a novice. You are the producers of the show, because when you send in your $5, your $10, your $15, your $17, there are some people who send in $25 a month to keep the radio going, to keep the page going. Appreciate that. Thanks for listening. I'll get to work on show 46. It'll be better than show 45, and I got to think of something for show 50. That ought to be a big one. Show 50, 75, every 20, every 25 shows we'll do a good one. But thanks, and I'll get to work on show 46.
1, 2. Bringing to the folks, Snoop Doggy Dogg and Dr. Dre is at the door, ready to make an entrance, so back on up, cause you know we're about to rip shit up. Give me the microphone first so I can bust like a bubble. Compton and Long Beach together, now you know you in trouble. Ain't nothing but a G-Bang, baby. Too low, death maker, so we're crazy. Death Row is the label that's paid, man. Unfadable, so please don't try to fake it. But back to the lecture at hand. Perfection is perfected, so I'ma let them understand from a young G's perspective. And before me digging a bitch, I have to find a contraceptive. You never know, she could be earning her man and learning her man, and at the same time burning her man. Now you know I ain't with that shit, Lieutenant. Ain't no pussy good enough to get burned while I'm offended. And that's realer than real deal, Holyfield. And now you hookers and hoes know how I feel. Well, if it's good enough to get broke off a proper chunk, I take a small piece of some of that funky stuff. It's like this and like that and like this, and it's like that and like this and like that, and it's like this and like that and like this, and Drake creep to the mic like a fan.
Well, I'm peeping and I'm creeping and I'm creeping, but I damn near got caught, cause my beeper kept beeping. Now it's time for me to make my impression felt. So sit back, relax, and strap on your seatbelt. You've never been on a ride like this before.